All right, if we get everything together here. I was sitting here while we were singing, and I went to church here when we only had 15 people. And now I think the count's up maybe around 90-something, whatever. It's a whole lot different than 15 people, I tell you that. But it's great to have that many people with us. I'm going to pick up where I left off last time. I'm going to be looking in Acts, the fourth chapter. A little background, since it's been a while since I spoke. Peter and John had been arrested. And they had gone before the Sanhedrin, which is the ruling body of the Jews. And they had been told that they were not to talk about Jesus anymore. Now, the reason they got in front of the Sanhedrin is they healed a man. And so they were brought before the Sanhedrin. But Peter answers them. He says, the person I have to listen to is God. And I'm going to listen to what God tells me to do, and not what you tell me to do. And obviously, that's what they did, because they did not stop preaching Jesus Christ. In fact, later down the road, they're arrested again. And in fact, on that occasion, I think all 12 apostles were arrested. So they come back to the brothers and sisters in Christ and report everything that happened to them. And while they were in prison and while they were before the council, the church had been praying for their release. I think last time we talked a lot about the power of prayer. Okay? Their prayer was answered, and Peter and John were released. So that's where we pick up in verse 32. It says, now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind. And no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and grace was on all of them. For there was not a needy person among them, because all those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed to each person as any had need. Okay, so the first thing is a question. If you had been Peter and John, and you had been arrested, and you had been brought before the Sanhedrin, what would you have done in that situation? Would you have continued to stand up for Jesus and continued to spread the gospel? We have brothers and sisters in Christ throughout this world who are being persecuted at this moment. In fact, depending on who you're listening to, the numbers of people that are actually Christians and die may be around 200 a day. And we are not being persecuted like that. We're able to assemble here and worship God as we should. I wonder what would happen if we were under that persecution. Would we be as strong as our Christian brothers and sisters throughout the world who are standing up for Jesus Christ even through persecution? You know, Satan failed one way by going directly at John and Peter, and then be arrested. We forget about Satan a lot of times. Satan is real. Satan is out there. Satan is working against us. Okay? And he does it in different ways. Okay, sometimes he comes directly at you. Sometimes he doesn't. He comes as a devouring lion. It's found in 1 Peter 5:3. A devouring lion. Do you know who a lion preys on? The weak. The weak person. He preys on the weak person. So in some instances, he is a roaring lion and he comes against you because you're weak. Satan comes in a deceiving, as a deceiving serpent, I'll get out in a minute, deceiving serpent or an angel of light. If he can't come against you one way as the lion, then he comes against you as a deceiving spirit or an angel of light. In other words, he makes sin look good. He makes sin look good. You know, a lot of people, well, we all sin, but there are those that sin because he makes it look good. And they say, well, it's not going to hurt me if I do this a little bit, but that's not what happens, because a little bit becomes a lot larger and a lot larger and a lot larger. But I think we need to not forget that Satan is out there and that he's working against us. I looked up angel of light because I really wasn't sure of the definition. It says, Satan capitalizes on our love of light in order to deceive. He wants us to think that he is good, truthful, loving, and powerful. All the things that God is. Therefore, Satan appears as the creature of light to draw us to himself and his lies. Satan wants to be worshipped. Okay, Satan wants to be worshipped. He wants us to think that he is just like God, but he is not like God. He is both a murderer and a liar. John 8:44, and the church must be prepared for both. We are in a battle. Ephesians 6:12 tells us we are in a battle. We are in a battle against what we can't see. Spiritual forces. They're real. And they're coming against us. So, we do need to take on the armor that is mentioned in Ephesians 6. We do need to fight against Satan. The next thing we see in these verses is the generosity of the believers. The generosity of the believers. I don't know how much you give. Don't need to know that. I do think that the Bible teaches us that we are supposed to give generously and that we are to give in joy, joyfully. Give in joy. It shouldn't be something that we just give because that's what's supposed to be done. We're supposed to give in joy. There are people out there who are in need. We should be helping them. Now, I know that the church here at Echo Hills does that. When we see someone in need, that we help them. We have the baskets that we give out. I think we give them out at Thanksgiving, Christmas. I'm not exactly sure, but maybe we give them out several times during the year. Those people are in need, and that's what we should be doing. In verse 32, it says that the church that depends on believing prayer will know the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Believing prayer. That's another thing. We go back to prayer. Do you believe when you pray? Do you believe that what you ask of God will be granted? And I understand he doesn't always answer the prayer the way I think he should. But he is the God. He knows what's in the future. He knows what's the right thing. He knows what you need. And that's what he's going to give you. But I think that we need to pray believing that what we pray for he will answer. In Corinthians, he goes through a number of special things, you might say. And one of them is faith. Great faith. You know, I was praying the other day, and I asked for that. Give me great faith. Not just an ordinary faith. I want a great faith so that I will continue to believe in Jesus Christ, that I will want to do His will, that I will want to spread the gospel. That's what we should be doing as a church. And then it talks about a unified church. And what is a unified church? I guess everybody here would have a different answer, but when the Holy Spirit is at work, God's people will be united in their doctrinal beliefs as well as in fellowship, giving, and worship, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. We are to be unified as a church. Now, I know that each church is individual. That's true. And probably each church has different goals. They have different works, but we should be unified. Does that mean we'll never disagree? That's not true. Obviously, sometimes we're going to disagree, but our focus should be unified. And our focus here at Echo Hills is reach. The young people that we bring in on Wednesday and Sunday nights. That is our focus, or that's one of our focuses, on the young people. And another focus that we have here is a Bible studies. We have them Wednesday, we have them Sunday. And if you're not going to a Bible study, you're missing out, okay? Over the years, I learned a lot. Of course, I went to a Bible high school. I got Bible there, but that's not where I learned the Bible. I learned the Bible studying because I started teaching in my 20s. And if I'm going to teach or I'm going to preach, I'm going to study. I never teach or preach without studying. So I learned a lot studying, but then I learned a lot in the classes discussion. To almost any class that we've got, you're going to find us discussing, okay? Because the teacher doesn't have all the knowledge. There are people in this church that have a lot of Bible knowledge, and they might look at a scripture differently than I look at it, which is good. If they don't speak up and tell me what they're saying in the scriptures, I'm not learning. But you need to be learning, and you need to be in a class. So I challenge you, if you're not in a class, you need to get in a class. A Spirit-filled church will have its enemies. We have enemies. Now, a lot of times we don't really see that. But there are those out there that are our enemies. There are those out there that really don't want us to assemble on Sundays. They don't want that. They certainly don't want the mention of anything spiritual as far as the government is concerned. We have enemies, but we also have the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit. A Spirit filled church is multiplied. Judy gave me a book. By the way, Judy, I'm reading the book finally. I read a lot of books, so yours finally got in line. It's about multiplying the church. That's what we should be doing, multiplying the church. I keep saying over and over, you can't just sit in here and expect men. It's not going to happen. You've got to get out of the church building. Go where they are. You have to invite them in. You have to invite them in. But you can't invite them in from here. It has to be out there. And as Christians, that is our obligation, to spread the gospel. Why do you think the so fast in the first century? They didn't have television. They didn't have radio. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have any of that. And if you read Acts, you'll find they multiplied. Why? Was it because Peter and the apostles were out there doing all the preaching? No. It's because the individual Christian was taking the gospel wherever they went. There's a section in Acts that says, and the Lord allowed a persecution to come upon the church. The Lord allowed. Why? Why would he allow persecution of the church? Because the church was in Jerusalem. It wasn't going anywhere. And when the persecution came, they spread. And they went to a lot of different places. And when they went, they took the gospel with them. Somehow we get the idea that, like Paul, he took the gospel everywhere, but it was just Paul. No, it wasn't. It was everybody. We need to be out there taking the gospel. So a church will be evangelistic. This church sacrificed and shared with one another. It was not communism, by the way. It's just that they saw, when they saw a need, they took care of the need. Later on, we'll talk about widows. They were taking care of the widows. They were feeding the widows. But whatever the need was, they were taking care of it. Now, they didn't give all their property to the church. Somehow we got that idea. That's not true. Now, if you had property, if you had property and you saw a need and you wanted to help, then you could sell that property and turn that money over to the church, and the church would take care of the problem. But they didn't sell all their property. And not everybody did it, because probably some people didn't have any property. So I imagine they gave in some of the ways. Nowhere are we instructed to bring our money and lay it at the feet of the pastor. The principle of Christian giving are outlined in Ephesians, especially also in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. We are to give joyfully. We are to give of our means. A lot of people still go back to the Old Testament and 10th percent. You give 10%. Well, actually, they gave about 30%. If you read the Old Testament, yes, they gave 10%, but then there were other times they gave more money. So if you figure all that out, it's about 30%. I don't know how many in this room give 30%. Okay, of course, you can give in different ways. It doesn't have to be money. It can be service. It can be service to the church. You know, and I'm nothing special. There's a lot of people that work in the prison ministry. I know there's two of us in here that work in the prison ministry. Okay? Well, we're giving our time. We don't get paid for it, but if you paid us, we'd probably get a pretty good bit. So that's giving through the church. They know who we are. They know that we're Christians. They know that we take our time to go into the prisons. And I say, I'm not the only one. I know Tom does, and I know a lot of others that do this. Okay? Nursing homes. Okay, some people go to nursing homes. Well, that's a good work. And whose name are you doing that in? The Lord's. Some of those folks in the nursing home, unfortunately, some of those folks in the nursing home never see their family. They put them in there and they just about forget them. So, if you go into a nursing home, I like to go in early. I go into the dining room. I go to the table talk. I sit down and I talk and I'll. They love you. You're giving to the Lord when you do that. Again, I'm not the only one that does that. There's a lot of people do that. But I'm telling you that that's what a church does. When they put this Bible together and they made chapters and verses and things like that, they didn't always put them together right. In chapter 4, which we're in, the next verse is 36, which actually starts a new thought. and should be the first verses of chapter 5. But I'm not going to get into 5 this morning. I'll save that for a few months out when I get to preach again. It's a wonderful thing to be here this morning. We really should appreciate it because there are brothers and sisters throughout the world who can't do it. It's a wonderful thing to be here and to sing. Sometimes, and I love to sing, but sometimes I just of course, the people around me think that's a good idea, but I just shut up so I can hear the singing because it's beautiful. And I don't care if it's the songs we sang this morning or the gospel. Now, I prefer gospel, but that's the way I was brought up. By the way, there's a station on AM 980 if you want to hear the gospel. I listen to K-Love and The Fish and all that, but a lot of times I listen to 980 because it's the gospel songs that are being sung, and there's a lot of preaching there too. Okay. The baptistry is full, thanks to Rich. Appreciate it, Rich. For quite some time, it was not full, and if we had a baptism, we had to go somewhere, which is okay, but it's a lot better since we have the baptistry full. So, if there should be someone who has not been baptized, then you have the opportunity at this time. You also have the opportunity to come forth if you've got problems you want prayed about. Now, I know in the announcements we do that, but we could do it right now. Lady at the hearth today, while I was preaching, raised her hand, and I told her, go ahead. She has a mother that is in really, really bad health, okay? And this lady, by the way, works in the section that takes care of the Alzheimer patients. But she comes over to the worship service because that's the only one she gets to go to. So after it was over, I got Ben, who leads the singing, and I, and we prayed for this lady and her mother. You see, that's what the church should do too, the praying. I don't think we do enough of that a lot of times, especially when someone has a problem. Anyway, if you have any of those needs, you can come at this time as we sing the invitation song.